The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Margaret Heffernan is with me now, though. She's the author of Embracing Uncertainty. It is her latest book. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great. I love being in Dublin.
Oh, well, listen, it's great to have you here. When you talk about uncertainty, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that the future is highly unpredictable. We used to think, you know, if you had enough data and good enough models and so on, that you could kind of plan for the future. I think COVID pretty much put paid to that. And if COVID didn't, I would say the current political situation does too. And there are very good reasons why this is the case. Our world's become a great deal more complex. Complex systems don't repeat themselves routinely. They don't behave according to traditional models. Efficiency is actually really bad for a complex environment, but we have businesses that just decide everything on the grounds of efficiency. So we've gone through a real sea change, I think, in terms of the world we live in. And, you know, the book I wrote before this, Uncharted, made the argument that the future was highly unpredictable, which many people disagreed with, but it came out 2 weeks before we all locked down, at which point I think the case was closed. So the issue now really is very much, okay, if we can accept that our ability to predict is very limited, that there'll be huge margins of error. A lot about the way that we run companies, even the ways that we think about our lives, really need to change.
Are there other similar points in history, looking back, you would say this is a repetition of, in terms of the uncertainty? And then there's kind of longer kind of periods wherein you could predictably sense what was coming around the corner?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, what my friends who are historians will say to me is history does not repeat itself. And it doesn't repeat itself partly because we know what people did in the past. So we have information that people in the past didn't have. So we make different choices. So although it may look the same, if you study it in any meaningful detail, what you'll find is the differences make all the difference, so to speak.
Human nature, though, I guess that's the thing that maybe repeats itself, or the way
except
people react to things and to adversity.
People are very, very inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, to be fair, I think that's one of the glories of human beings, right? Mm. Which is, you may think they're very serious and then you discover actually they've got a great sense of humor. Or you may think they're very funny and discover actually they have a terrible sense of humor. You know, we change day by day according to the context in which we find ourselves. We know our brain changes until the very minute that we die. So one of the problems with trying to predict something is the assumption that patterns will repeat themselves. And the reality is that in many, many situations, they don't.
So the book is embracing uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's not just uncertainty or be terrified of uncertainty.
No. Make uncertainty your friend.
Yes,
your friend.
Okay. So in what ways then do people need to change patterns of behavior, be it in daily life or, as you say, at the corporate level or in politics, in a way that puts them on the best footing to embrace the uncertain future?
So the first thing I'd say is people generally think that uncertainty is terrible. And I would argue, imagine your life if every single thing about it were certain from now till the day you die.
Oh, God, that's miserable, isn't it?
Exactly. So I don't think we want to be as in love with certainty as we think we are. And the second thing I'd say is, therefore, you know, what's uncertain means that there's freedom, there are choices, there are options. And so instead of thinking about, I want to nail everything in my life right down, think about, okay, where there's uncertainty, there's opportunity. You know, entrepreneurs are great at this. Artists are great at this. If we don't know what's going to happen, we can start to make decisions about what it is we want to happen. There is room for maneuver, and there's a real room for creative and critical thinking.
And how then do you imbue an organization with creative or critical thinking when the environment is one that yearns for certainty? We often talk about it in the context of Donald Trump and everything else. Businesses, they love certainty.
Yes, they do love certainty. And 87%, I think, of the earnings calls in the first quarter of this year cited uncertainty as a
risk.
Yes,
right? We'll make no decisions. Why? Because of the uncertainty.
That's right. And, you know, in the past, if CEOs had admitted that things were uncertain, they'd have thought that it made them look stupid.
Mm.
You know, now they're at least admitting it is a day-to-day reality. I think, you know, the argument in my book is that actually this means we need more creative people in our organizations. And I would say that 20th century management believed you could define everything through meticulous planning, get exactly the right person with exactly the right skills to fit an incredibly detailed job description, load them up with goals and targets and key performance indicators and all that stuff, and everything would work like clockwork. And in a more certain age, that probably did. But it won't now. So now, especially when we're thinking of hiring, we need to think of people who have the capacity to imagine what could be useful in this situation. What are the resources at our command, and what can we do with them that's different? Can we imagine a different future and get ahead of where we are today? And this really flies in the face of 20th century management, you know, which really likes to detail everything before anybody walks out the door. Now we need a lot more margin for imagination, for creativity, and I think we need a lot more of that in our education system, although I would argue that there are certain aspects of the Irish education system that are just brilliant for this.
Oh, yeah? Like
so I
what?
I did some work at DCU about a year ago where their focus on transversal skills, you know, these human capabilities that apply to everything. It's way ahead of its time compared to many, many education systems in the world. And I think also the transition year is just a completely brilliant innovation. It's so hard for kids to make a decision about their career, and they've had no taste of what real life, the outside world is like, you know, beyond the schoolroom.
Yeah.
So I think actually what I've seen in Ireland is a much more imaginative response to uncertainty. But I think there's still a long way to go yet.
Yeah, and Ireland is like other countries as well in my mind, in the way it tries to define people as well, that somebody is a creative or an imaginative person. Therefore, they should go into kind of performance art, for example.
Yeah.
And we think of it in that very silo term.
Exactly.
Where Margaret's kind of very logical. She's good at maths. Margaret going to be kind of working in a big consultancy firm or an accountancy or something like that. You know, but you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
That's how we imagine people.
Everybody gets typecast.
The way you describe it, it sounds like actually that kind of creative person in this uncertain future, if we want to embrace it, you would say, you know what, they could work in a whole range of industries.
And actually, there's some really interesting experiments with school systems that have put a lot more creative elements into their curriculum. And what they discovered was that it made those students better at everything. You know, if they did more art, it wasn't just they were better at art, they were better at math, they were better at communication, they were better at English. So it is a kind of magic potion in the sense that the creative arts really enhance people's love of learning. It gives them a lot of resilience when they're doing something they won't quit so easily. And those are really fundamental skills that we need in a world that is, let's face it, you know, very complex to navigate.
Do you know what we haven't mentioned? We're almost out of time, and it's remarkable to talk about the uncertain future for this length of time in 2025 and not mention AI.
Yep.
And how much does that inform your vision of how uncertain the future is and how we embrace it?
Yeah. Well, I think the reality is we really don't know where I...
Another
AI.
Uncertainty. It's this is like, you know, you're like Donald Rumsfeld. Remember his unknown unknowns.
Exactly. I mean, I think we don't quite know where it's going to add benefit and where it isn't. I think there are, and, you know, I'm one of a large chorus saying there are huge dangers about it, not least that the decisions that it makes, we can't explain. Well, that's a big problem for leaders if they're saying we've decided to do X and somebody says why. And they say, well, because the machine said so. So there are going to be real stumbling blocks in getting the value of AI and figuring out where it's really helpful and where it's not. Not least of which is, you know, I work with a lot of CEOs who are very excited by the number of jobs they're going to be able to get rid of until I ask them, so who are the customers that are going to buy your product if they don't have work anymore? And there's a sort of stunned silence. So actually how we integrate AI into a functional economy is a great uncertainty.
Well, Embracing Uncertainty is the name of the book. The author is Margaret Heffernan. Margaret, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million.
Thanks to you too.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.